Thank you, Robin. Our gospel lesson, is from John chapter 3, and we'll begin at the verse of the Bible, the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. And so, believe it or not, there has been people through the years that have had so much money, and they loved their things so much that they were actually buried with an expensive car sitting at the wheel. And there was one man that was buried in his Rolls Royce. And the guys were putting the dirt on the car. And one guy turned to the other and said, as he looked down, he said, "Man, that guy's so lucky." The other guy says, "Yeah, that's really living." But today I want you to think about how important it is to really, as Psalm 91 says, "Teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." You know, I'm getting up on in years. I'll be 55 this May. Tell me that's still young. I love Cecil because every time is it still young, Dakota? What do you think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I
got another half to go. 110. All right.
Halfway
there. I love that attitude. Amen. Well, if you believe in John 3:16, right, you would say, second you give your life to Christ, that's when you begin your eternal life. It's not when you die. It's when you accept Christ into your heart and you trust. As Billy Graham said, I love his quote, "I've read the whole Bible. I've read the last page. Everything turns out okay." I love that quote because I want you to have an it's going to be okay faith. Amen. That you don't have to worry about tomorrow because it's already in God's hands. But I want you to think about how you choose to live your life every single day. And I want to ask you the question. How do you know when you really are living? How do you know when you're really living life to the full? I asked Cecil, my good friend, a couple years ago. God rest his soul. He's looking down from heaven. He died when he was 98 years old. A couple years ago, I asked him this question. I said, "When do you really feel alive, Cecil?" And he said, "When I'm helping someone." Amen? So that's a good answer. Somebody else said, "When I am healthy physically, I feel alive." Then I said, "Do you feel..." I said, "When I dislocated my shoulder, my left shoulder, I dislocated it twice. I really felt alive when I was in intense pain. And I had to have somebody else put it back in. I felt alive." My dad used to take us out into the ocean in the waves, and he would be way out there crashing waves in the middle of the night, and he would turn and it would be freezing up at York Beach, Maine, and he'd turn to us, "It's good to be alive!" Simply because it was so intense. But I want you to think about what gives you life. What really brings you passion for life? You really should think about these things. You're going to be challenged every Sunday when you hear the gospel. The words from Jesus, John 10:10, "I've come to give you life, life to the full." Amen? I love Abraham Lincoln's quote, "And in the end, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years." Amen? It's not the longevity, it's the quality of your years. Amen? In fact, I love the movie Braveheart. I don't know who actually said this. I think it was the Mel Gibson character who said, "Every man dies, not every man really lives." And how sad it would be that at your last breath you look back and you go, "Did I really live a full life?" And that's why we get into God's Word and we hear how important it is to be alive in Christ, because You can have all the things that this world can offer that you would think would give you a good life or fill your life with life. You could have a nice home, a nice car, a full bank account. You could have a full friends list and family. You could be popular and successful, and yet you could still have that emptiness in your soul because you have not experienced God's saving grace. I feel most alive when I experience God's grace and when I share God's grace with other people. Amen? Paul writes beautiful words, "As for you," he's writing to the early church in Ephesus, "as for you," and he's addressing the people of faith, encouraging them in a world of sin, in a world of temptation. He says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts." That's pretty straightforward, right? It says you were dead. You used to live in this way, following your desires and thoughts and cravings of the flesh. You know, we watched a movie last week on our youth group, and it was the senior high youth group. The middle school is really not ready for this kind of movie. It was a documentary. It's on Netflix. I'd recommend you to watch it. It's called Liberated, the Sexual Revolution, the New Sexual Revolution. And all it was about was spring break down in Florida or Cancun in the islands. And they followed these young men to spring break Florida. And all it was literally debauchery and sexual lust out of control. And we watched it. We're like, Nancy and the girls had watched it already. And I said, really, we want to watch an hour and a half of this? When watching this, now, it was redeemable because it was so stark. Like, here is what we're teaching young people of where to find life. Drink, drugs, and have sex. And when I first was watching it, felt disgusted, felt gross, felt dirty that we live in a world where this happens, that young people actually think that this is the path that they want to be on. And then I realized that God wants me to love these people. That God loves every single person in that documentary. And if you watch it, you feel disgusted. You sort of hate on these people. How dare them? And these young men treating women so poorly, so sinfully, and yet God loves every single one of them and does not want them to live this type of life that leads to death, leads to separation from God. And the interesting thing was that, you know, I thought about the scripture this week where it says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Amen. Do you know that in the middle of watching it, I remembered, and Nancy knows my story, and some of the people in the church know my story, my testimony. 1983, guess where I gave my life to Christ? Florida, spring break. Now, I won't give you any version of that, except that in the middle of that, and I wasn't sort of in the middle, I was on the outskirts, kind of just like, but there was a sequence of events that ended up that I actually was in jail. Nancy's laughing. She knows the whole story. And God's grace came to me. I finally, in my whole life, I believed in God, but I did not give my life to God. I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in that jail cell, my wallet had been stolen. I couldn't prove who I was. I didn't have enough money for the bail. And a woman named Pearl came up to me and was gracious to me. Loaned me $20, never thinking it ever would come back. All the other officers just said, "Don't do it, Pearl, don't do it." And I was set free, and I was a new person. My brothers were laughing. But I tell you this today because I am alive in Christ. I was made alive in Christ, and I invite you to do the same. And it's not just once. It's every single day to choose the path that leads to life. And, you know, sometimes you don't know you're lost in sin until you experience God's grace, really. Until you really understand that God loves you in your worst. Think of your worst. Think of the moment that if someone had a cell phone camera and captured it, not just a still photo, a video, and put it online for everybody to see forever. God knows the part in your soul and your heart that he gave his son Jesus for. That you are loved with an extravagant love. Isn't that awesome? Not anything you could ever earn. And that's what we lift up in church every single Sunday, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because people are hurting for grace. They're hurting for unconditional love and for the relationship. Nicodemus, he had everything the world could offer. He was a man, well-respected, professional Pharisee, was wealthy. He had everything, but he probably had nothing in the sense he didn't have a personal relationship. So he met Jesus undercover at night. And he asked him, what do you mean I have to be born again? And Jesus shares with him the words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Nicodemus, God loves you. You can't earn that love. You can't judge all these other people and think you've earned God's graces. It is a free gift. We're all sinners saved by grace. There'll be a day when John Taylor will die, and I'll stand before God and God will say, why should I let you into heaven, John Taylor? And I can't say, well, I won this trophy and I did this and I did this. The only thing I can say is I'm a sinner saved by grace and grace alone. Amen? Is that awesome that you don't have to worry about being good enough because you can't be good enough? Amen? And so today I want you to think about, I saw the stats today because I'm just at the tail end of the baby boomers. Baby boomers are people born between 1946 and 1964. Guess how many million baby boomers there are in the country? 77, almost 78 million. Guess how many baby boomers are retiring every single day? 10,000. Every single day, there are people that have done very well, have been very successful, and they get to retirement and they go, literally, now what? Do you know how much baby boomers are going to inherit from their parents in the next 20 years? Guess how much money is going to be transferred to the baby boomers? $15 trillion that they're going to decide what to do with. Some will decide to do good with that. Some will try to find life in all the things of the world and they'll waste their time and then they'll die. I don't want you to die as people that don't know your purpose in life. Amen? You need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can say amen. Amen? I don't want you to be someone who, when you breathed your last, that you said, what have I done with my life? Scary proposition, isn't it? That God's given you a life and you can either follow the path that leads to glory and be all about grace or not. Nothing makes me more alive than experiencing forgiveness and grace and love from God. To know that Jesus took my cross. Jesus paid my debt. And I can live to honor him now. Till my last breath that I'm in heaven. It is sad that we don't share this with others. Because once you receive the grace of God, you're called to share that grace. To say, I've been made alive in Christ. There's nothing I did that earned this love that God's given to me. You know, last week we did something different in our church. Right, Natalie? You know, it was the Holy Spirit moment. It was a strange thing. The 10:30 service, I'm going to ask you to just hang on. Sort of like a roller coaster, right? Because you never know. Some people close their eyes through the whole roller coaster. They don't want to know the next turn or up and down. But last week, the Holy Spirit, I said, I'm just going to be open to the Spirit. And right before the closing song, I looked over at Natalie, someone in our congregation. She's right there, next to her husband, Tom. And I knew Natalie was going for cancer treatment the next day. And I had not asked Natalie, is it okay to lift you up in prayer and have you come forward and receive the laying on? I did not check with her first. But I turned to her and I said, Natalie, would you like a blessing? And she started to let the tears come. She said, yes, I need it. And she stood right here. Nancy came up Ashley and Stephanie and some others. I don't know if you knew everybody that was just putting their hands upon you, but we called upon the Lord. I asked the whole congregation, just put your hands out like this and direct it to Natalie. Now, she was vulnerable enough at that moment to be totally open to receive God's grace. You know, the beauty of it wasn't just that moment where she was willing to be an example of how to receive God's grace. But right after the service, I think four women came to her right where she sat. I was saying goodbye to people. I looked over. I see Jean Rinker. I see Sue Helberg and Janine Toomey and somebody else. That they just came right to Natalie and said, I am so-and-so. What's your name, Natalie? And you're going through this? And it was so beautiful to witness that minutes before, they didn't know what Natalie was going through and how she needed God's saving grace at this moment to give her strength and power. But the four people or more people that came towards her, they had as much need to give God's grace. Amen? And I like to say the next day, Sue Helberg traveled with Natalie to St. Vincent's Hospital. Someone she didn't know until the next, a sister in the faith. So I only share this to you to remind you that we're in the life-giving business as people of God. Can I hear an amen? And you're called to be on the side of life, not of death. And I'll admit that I can feel lifeless and lethargic just like you can. I can feel complacent. But when I feel like that, that gets me on my knees to seek God's grace, to seek the face of Christ in prayer and in His Word, and also to share grace. Last week, what's the 1 Corinthians chapter 1? The message of the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to everybody who's perishing. But for those who believe, it is the power of God. Amen? It's hard to deny yourself, isn't it? I'm as selfish as the next guy. I have temptations as the next person. We have these emotions that can dominate and overwhelm us. But that does not lead to life. Being in a relationship with Jesus is what leads to life. I remind you again what Paul said to the people in Ephesus, to this small church. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. We have to remind each other that we're people of faith. You know, John 10, when Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. It's only the second half of that verse. The first half is, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That other force in the world doesn't want you to have life and life to the full. It's all about moments of grace. That's what all life is all about. And when you experience it, when you taste it, you want more. And you want to give more. And we're called to be people that bring grace out into the world. I want to share a story. Tony Campolo is a great Christian speaker, pastor, preacher, and he told a story one time. He was in a seedy cafe in Honolulu, Hawaii, and he was there at 3 a.m. in the morning drinking a cup of coffee, and in comes a bunch of women, and they're all prostitutes, and they're all talking to each other after their night's work. And he overhears a woman by the name of Agnes, who's a prostitute, talk about that the next day was her birthday and that she had never, ever had a birthday party, never had a birthday cake, and she was lamenting the fact that she never felt that loved. And he overheard that. And so he talked to Harry, the owner of the cafe, and said, do they always come in about this time? Harry said, oh, yeah, they always come in. He said, tomorrow I want to pay for a party for Agnes. Don't tell her, but we're going to decorate the whole cafe and we're going to get a cake and have her name on it. And the next day, Agnes came with all the other prostitutes, and surprise, it's a birthday party. This cake is for you. Your name is on it. And tears just started to flow. For the first time in her life, she felt like she was loved in something special. And she actually said, I want to go show my mother this cake. And she left for a little bit to go show the cake that said, Happy Birthday, Agnes. And when she left the cafe, Tony Campola took all the prostitutes and Harry and his wife, and he said, let's have a prayer for Agnes, that she knows how much God loves her and she's not alone. And they had a prayer. And at the end of it, Harry, the owner of the cafe, said to Tony Campolo, is this what church is all about? Because if this is what church is all about, I want to go to this church. Amen? And so today I want you to think about how important it is to know that Jesus took all your sin. when he said, "It's finished," it's finished. There's nothing that you've done that's not forgivable. There's no mistakes or shame that cannot be wiped away by the love of Christ. Howard Thurman, who was the dean of the Marsh Chapel at BU, who inspired Martin Luther King Jr., said this. He said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." Amen? You don't wonder why we have mission opportunities after mission opportunity. Next week we're going to hear about people who went to Africa, Dakota. Amen? How alive are we when we come back from our Africa mission or our ASP mission, when you get to look someone in the eyes and just tell them, "Jesus loves you and we're here to help. You're not alone." So I want us to have just a time of prayer and actually open it up to prayer if the people would like to share any prayers this morning before we have just a minute of prayer. And maybe Karen or Elizabeth can play the keyboard. Natalie, we love you. We love you. Can everybody say, "We love you, Natalie"?
Love you.
Amen. Amen. Let's tell Tom we love him too. Tom, we love you too, brother. Amen. Don't ever underestimate the power of those words. Can you promise? So the challenge is to really allow grace, the grace of Jesus, make you alive. And then share it this week. Can you buy someone a cup of coffee? Can you, I was going to say pay the toll for someone behind you, but now there's no toll booths in Massachusetts. But there will be an opportunity this week where you can go outside yourself. And I guarantee whatever monetary, whatever it is that you give up, you're going to get back 100-fold. No question. Those five people that have these envelopes, Ben has already whispered in my ear what he wants to do. And it's powerful that you believe you have something to give this week. You have grace to give. So any prayers that people like to lift up at this time? I'm so happy that Ethan is with us. Amen. He's got a nice haircut. Nancy gave him a nice hair. He had a beard like it was way down here, and his hair was like... But he slept at home last night. He says, "It's good to be home." And he slept next to Max for all pretty much since Max was adopted from Russia when he was 6 years old. Ethan and Max slept together, and it was so beautiful to see the two brothers love each other. Amen. You had to borrow his underwear, though. I remember you said you didn't have any underwear to bring back. Max has some underwear you can borrow. Too far? Too far, sorry. He doesn't look like he minds. The other thing I want to lift up is prayer now. Shaw is in love. Shaw is in love. Now, he's told people, I think it's just beautiful, because Jennifer or Jenny, we now call her Jenny because she's that close. She came for a few days at Christmas, and this past week she was with us the whole week. The lights went out, but Jenny still shined. Amen. And Shaw is in love. And she is so wonderful, and he's so wonderful, and they have this faith together. And Nancy and I was like, "Who is this guy?" And it's because of all of you that he grew up in a church where he was ready. He really has not had a girlfriend, really, that this serious. So I just want to thank God that right now they're on a bus back to Temple University. They made it to New York, and now they're transferring to another bus. But just God is so good. And I'll second that. I feel alive when your kids are doing well. Amen? So let's bow our heads. Can you put your hands out again? Let's be a little different. I want you to receive a blessing of grace in your own personal life today. You came to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Receive it today. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your extravagant love. We thank you, God, that you've made us alive. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you've been saved. Thank you, God, that you loved this student at spring break in 1983. And you love all those people lost in sin.
We love that you love that one lost sheep. We thank you that your grace abounds and that we can't get enough of it. We confess because that knocks down that door to let your grace in. We confess that we can be better people, better husbands, better wives, better sons and daughters. But we thank you that it's your grace that knits our families together and that no one's lost because of what they've done. Thank you for tears of joy that a woman named Natalie can know she's loved and not alone. And that people in our church overflowing with love can love someone and walk with them. Be with those who are suffering, those who are without someone to love that we could reach out. Bless the churches around the globe, small and large, those that are seeking to find those on the outskirts, for the prostitutes, the sinners, for those who are lost in their sinful actions of gluttony and materialism, for that man who's in Westboro or Grafton, who's lost in addiction, all alone. For that person that's near taking their life, may they see in us a place to call home. Thank you, God, for Nicodemus, who was there in the garden under the cover of night, and also when they took Jesus off the cross with Joseph of Arimathea, who anointed the body of Christ, who came to know new life. Thank you, God, for your word today and for challenging us to truly live and truly share your grace with a hurting world as we pray your prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. Let's have our closing song. Praise God.